Hi, welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne from Yachts Mermaids, and I'm your host. And today I have Susan Porta from Sportable Crew. She's an agent, CEO, right, of Sportable Crew Agency. It's been with us for 13 years. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Marianne. I'm excited to be here.
I know. I know you since I started my yachting career. You started 13 years ago because I've been in yachting for 14 years. So, I mean, it's been a long time, yeah. I definitely know that you've been in the industry prior to that.
True. Well, Sportable Crew is 13 years strong, which I'm very proud of. The year prior to that, I was going to buy an agency, if you remember the name Carol Manto.
Yeah, that was the first agency that placed me.
So at that point, this was 2006, Carol had already sold her agency to a gentleman named Phil Nicholas, who we now know as Pippa Nicholas in the industry. And I was going to potentially buy it from Phil and his wife, Kim. I made them an offer. They didn't accept. I honored my non-compete for 1 year, and a year to the day, I opened Sportable Crew under my own name.
Amazing. So the reason why I invited Susan today with us is because I want to have a new, fresh perspective on a few things that involve crew agencies. And as you may already know, to be honest, I'm super honored that you said yes, because a lot of crew agencies have said no, and I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, it's like, where do we draw that line of like, let's get real, you know? I understand there's liability, I understand there's a lot of things involved, but at the same time, can you just have a real conversation, you know, human to human? And so thank you for saying yes and showing up. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of crew agencies, and especially lately, it's the massive turnover of crew on board. And I literally just experienced this on a new purchase yacht that I was setting up. And within the first month, we had four crew members, four different, positions. That had massive turnover. And it wasn't because of the program, it wasn't because of the boat, it wasn't because of the captain. It's all a really good, safe place to be. And yet we found so much turnover. And then what we realized is that at the end of the day, it was because of the crew agency not properly doing the job that they were being paid for. And to be honest, crew agency make a lot of freaking money. It is the truth. So anyway, when I say this, what comes up for you before I continue?
At first I was going to ask about the leadership, but you had already covered that, and you've narrowed it down to it was a problem with the agency and how they were recruiting candidates. That being said, though, there are three people involved. There is the agency, there is the hiring manager, and there is the candidate. So all three are trying to reach the same objective. My question would be, what are the discussions that are being had for these offers to be made, these jobs to be taken, but the ultimate objective not being met for the long term? Because unless it's a freelance position, most people are entering these discussions with long term in mind. People want longevity. People want a consistency and a security. I'm sorry that this happened on that boat and with this agency. Certainly other agents and agencies have left me scratching my head beyond the 13 years, you know, even the years prior to when I was crew myself. And that was one of the reasons why I had considered entering into this business of the next phase of my evolution in the industry, was to meet needs that I didn't see were being met by the agencies and how they were doing business. And then also some personal decisions, wanting to move off of boats, settle down, build a financial foundation, have a family, and those types of things. It surprises me, though, that there was such a turnover in given positions, and that you'd have to say that it was the agency not doing their job. I can't disagree with you sometimes in the way I've seen agencies do jobs. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that an agent or an agency can get a call, and within 3 minutes to 30 minutes, that hiring manager can have 10 CVs in the inbox. It amazes me how no one's spoken to those candidates, though. Are those candidates still available today, even if they were available yesterday?
That was one of the things. Like, we call people, and they were like, oh, no, I'm not there. I'm not available. I'm like, what am I paying this person for? Like, I mean, I'm not literally paying them anything. But because I am in charge of the process, and I am looking for the assets of the owner, you know, looking out for the assets of the owner, that also means the financial cost of it. I feel that it is, in a sense, my money, you know, so I treat it as it is, I guess, you know, and for me, it baffled me that, so before I continue with that, I want to talk a little bit about, you said that you had certain needs as a crew, and this is what you evolve into. So prior to starting the show, we were talking about how crew agencies has evolved, right? Like throughout the years, at least the 14 years that I've been part of this industry. I mean, there was no social media before, you know, I remember having to go to Smallwoods and putting my CV there, you know, and there was a book, and like putting things on, even a bar, you know, like putting your business card or whatever. And having to go to the actual agencies and sit with them and have an interview with them. And I remember there were like computers there for you, because a lot of people didn't have computers. And you had to do this long ass process to get on the database, you know? And they basically would be like, if it's not finished, like you can't submit it. So they make you go through the process. These days, I mean, you can leave everything empty and, you know, say, oh, I'll do it later. And it never gets done. So basically what I've seen in these 14 years is that there was such a personal, bond between crew agent and crew agent and owner. And that was like the beautiful pyramid that created that goal, right? That achievement to hit it. Because right now, like you said, it's like, people literally, I mean, I see this every day in social media. Crew agency just posting on private Facebook groups, jobs, like, hey, and I'm thinking, well, don't you have a database? Like, are people not going to your database? Is this why you're having to go to, like, Facebook groups? This is your resource, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, for me, when I see these posts, it's basically something I can do myself and not even have to charge for, you know?
Well, I don't think that seeing crew agent postings for jobs on Facebook are in lieu of them using their own databases. So that's not necessarily the case. You know, again, you and I have known each other for a long time.
That, though, I think if you are posting your content, right, of the job that you have in your page, your followers, okay, you're talking to the community that follows you, you're talking to your potential crew customers, right? Because we are your customer in the sense of, like, you know, who are we? We're your client, probably, because you make money out of us. So, but then to go and post on private Facebook groups, for me, saying you're not getting enough move in your own data that now you have to reach into these groups.
I disagree with you, though. And the reason I disagree with you is this. You know that I've always been a very personable person. And I have relationships with all of my clients and candidates included in that. You and I have a fierce memory of what our experiences are over these years and whom we've met. And when I'm speaking with a client or a hiring manager and they're telling me or asking me for a certain type of candidate, I've already got candidates in my mind. I'm already thinking of who might be a good fit. And I do pursue that or those people or those in my database or those on my Facebook page. But today there are so many different mediums for communication. And I think in fairness, to use a fishing analogy, cast as wide a net as possible and see what comes in. And the value of that is not having a person that I don't have a relationship with coming in and saying I'd like to be considered, which is a great thing because that just brings one more candidate to my agency that I could get to know and understand and determine if they're viable. You know, for me to work with and help. Hang on 1 second, though. But much on using Facebook is, what if you saw that post, Marianne? So what if you saw it on the Fort Lauderdale Yachties page before my Sportable Crew posting came in your newsfeed? And with the algorithms today on social media, that's not to say that I'm not posting to my people and they're going to see it before they may see it in these other ways. And that was also one of the great things about Smallwoods, because even I as an agency would go into Smallwoods and would go through the binders. And by going through the binders, I could see who was in town right now. So you could be a Sportable Crew candidate, but I may not have known that you just got back last night until I saw your resume in the Smallwoods binder today. Right. So it's not a matter of agencies using Facebook to just randomly recruit. It's using Facebook and other social media platforms as an opportunity to brand themselves and to put the word out about what positions they're hiring for and which clients they're hiring for. I just see the win-win.
I understand your perspective on it when you are really doing it from that intention. But what I've seen in my own experience is like, okay, so you know that when a crew agency usually, may not everybody, I don't know, but at least the big crew agencies, they usually, if you're in their database and you are the client, right, the person hiring crew, you get this, not just the CV, but you get like a little profile of the person who's on the database. These days, I can tell you they're not coming from their database because I'm not getting that anymore. I'm just getting the plain old PDF that literally, why on earth would I pay you 25% of the salary of this person or the first month of the salary of this person when what you're doing is literally something I could do? That is type it in and then get all the CVs.
So you're talking about more they're acting as a resume finding service. Instead
yes,
of
then,
with that, hiring manager. Yeah.
The fact that I go back to these agencies and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I'm seeing my own job post that they're posting online. I can see them, you know, I'm looking around, I see them. I was like, okay. And I'm thinking like, well, wait, don't they have people? And they're like, seeking, you know, for more people, like what's happening with their database? Like, didn't you tell me you have all these people, you know? So so that's the first like red flag for me right there, you know? And then the second one is that, you know, there's two things. At the end of the day, a crew agent wants to sell the job. I get it, is money. But where do we draw the line of, okay, yes, I wanna make money, because that's part of, you know, the part of the job. But I also don't want to just put people just because, you know, I really want to make sure that that fit is there. And then the answer that I get from these agencies is like, well, you know, crew lie. They just tell us that this is what they want, that the program is what they're looking for. And then when they get on board, it's exactly the opposite. It's like, oh no, this is exactly not what I want. And I'm like, what the freaking fuck, seriously? Because it makes no sense to me. Like, why literally are we paying crew agencies for it?
Well, I can't speak to I can't speak to other agencies. You know, when, in terms of the evolution of agencies, when I was first starting as crew, which was a happenstance situation. The industry wasn't something that I actually knew about, even being from New York, being from Long Island, living in Sag Harbor, being surrounded by water, having friends that had boats. I never, in the beginning, could look at a boat and say, that's a 150 footer that have 8 to 10 crew on board year round, getting paid full time with benefits, no matter what the owner's usage is. In fact, when I started as crew, the only thing that was talked about was what was the monthly salary. And the whole monthly salary idea is a whole nother discussion, because crew typically only get paid for the number of months that have names. You know what I mean? So if you think there are 4 weeks in a month, 4 times 12 is 48 weeks, but there are 52 weeks in the year. So where is kind of like that last 4 weeks of pay? Why do we have to take a monthly salary and divide it by 31, 30, 29, when in actuality it should actually be 20? In theory of having a 5-day work week with 2 days of rest, but that's another discussion. But in the beginning, people were only talking about salary. People were just moving so fast that it was just, I've got a job, this is what it's paying, do you wanna go for it? I never did business like that. And even when I was buying Carol Manto, or trying to buy Carol Manto, I had gone into the office and I had established operating control to determine if this was the right move for me to buy this agency, and then what would be the value of dollar that I offered. And at that time, I was one of the, I believe I was one of the first, but I'm sure there are other really great agents out there that could be have been doing this at that time as well. Talking about what is the total compensation package? What are the benefits being offered with this employment? That's an important discussion too, because employers, the owners, are paying anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 additional dollars on top of a monthly check to offer you those benefits, to offer you that health insurance, to offer you those vacation days, whether it's 30, 38, 40, 60, to offer that continuing education paid for by the vessel. And I believe that candidates should leverage everything that's being offered. The excuses that other agents had given you, I don't find acceptable, because I've always found a great responsibility in what I do. And what I do also is, you know, we're putting someone on board because there's a job to be done, but you're working, playing, eating, sleeping, breathing, and getting sick with these people. And there's a seriousness to that. It's very exciting to come together and to become part of or contribute to or form a family, you know, that was once strangers. But my approach is very different. And every time I was presenting a candidate to a hiring manager, I was letting, or I do, let that hiring manager know exactly why I'm presenting this candidate. And if you were the candidate, which you and I have had success in the past with my recruiting you to clients, it's a great story about how you and I know each other and how long we've worked together. And I can reference this time period or this boat more than you may even have on your resume. And that's what I try to share with my clients, is whom this person really is above and beyond the bullet points that they happen to have on their resume today. And I don't like the idea that crew lie, and that's why I conduct thorough interviews. And even in a time of COVID, my interviews are still 45 minutes a person, an hour and 15, an hour and a half a team, because how can I present those candidates with confidence that they're going to fit in with my client if we're not talking about what the client
is? Say that again. I think this is one of the things that has changed with time, is that back in the day, there was an interview process between you and the crew agency. And not to say, because like, I mean, the first job that I got, I literally, I don't even think it was a really bad boat, and to say the least, and they just threw me out there because they, you know, whatever, they wanted to make money. I was a green stew. you know, they're like, here, you know, and then obviously they closed the agency. So it's like, whatever, they obviously didn't care. And so there was, I remember for many years, I had an actual relationship to the crew agent, you know?
We had a relationship.
And these days, first of all, these days, like, there's so many crew agencies out there. All of a sudden, it's just like a big boom of so many people, you know, placing people. And I can see why, because, you know so much people and people start asking you, hey, do you know somebody? Hey, and then you're like, boy, if I'm going to do this, might as well charge, you know? But at the end of the day, it's almost like, what is the actual, you know, what are the morals? What are the values? What is the mission of this person who's supplying these placements, you know? And I think we have kind of like moved away from that a bit, and you can tell and you can see because of the massive crew turnover. And obviously crew turnover is not just because of crew agencies, but it is a key that we can not longer pretend that is doing the job that is doing when it's actually not. So
I agree too. Crew turnover just baffles my mind, because I don't think it's what people are interested in. I don't think it's what captains want. I don't think it's what owners want. I don't think it's what the crew wants.
I don't know anymore, because like, also this brings a little bit of a different subject that wasn't really something I was going to talk about, but it's coming up. There's so many new crew, right? People call them millennials or whatever, which anyway, I am, because I am on 84. So I'm on that bracket. They're more of like the really young people, you know, 18, 20 years old right now. And the sense of entitlement that these kids bring on board, it is, I mean, I'm like speechless, to tell you the truth. I'm like, wait, what? Like, and I don't know where they gather this perspective, you know? And I'm not saying you're not entitled to crew rights and all that. Yes, you are. Like, I'm super pro about that. But there's a sense of like, literally, I had a crew member, a young boy, Decky, junior deck, come on board. And the first, and we're like, it's a crazy time on board. We're like trying to just get things ready so we can go, right? And here he comes. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is like, why is my room not ready? And I was just like, I walked away, because I was like, no, this is not the moment or time. I'm walking away. And this is like a person that has been less than a year in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a stewardess, no, it is not my job to do your cabin. It is my job to maintain the boat, you know, and that includes sometimes crew cabins. But if I have a crew member that was being replaced, right, the person that left in the morning on Monday, and you're arriving at 1, my priority is not your cabin. I'm sorry. Like, it is on my list, but it's not my priority. So if you arrive and your cabin is not ready, even though the sheets were clean and all that, but like to your standard, which I don't know what the fuck was that. I don't understand, where is this coming from? You know, like there's like no humbleness. There's like, and then to tell me you have tea time at 10, you have tea time at 3, you work 8 to 5 in the middle of a crazy time, and you're telling me that this is too much. Oh,
but hang on a second. This goes back to the hiring process.
Exactly.
Who hired the person, and what were the discussions that were had?
The person, right? Because the agency sent the person telling us, yeah, this is like the person, the fit. Then the captain talks to the person. Seems like, okay, let's give it a go. You know, everybody on the same vibe, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, it flips, you know, in one day. I'm like, how does that even happen? I mean, I get it that not everybody's going to be the fit, even if you think is a potential, you know, but there's got to be some sort of, almost like you as a crew agent, you do the interview, you kind of think, okay, if I would hire him, what that could potentially mean? And then be like, actually, no, this is not the right person. Because I'd rather have a crew agent that says to me, you know what, Marian, there's nobody for you right now. I'm sorry. Look somewhere else. Because in my database or the people that I'm reaching, they just don't fit your criteria. So why waste your time and mine? You know, when I find somebody, I'll give it to you. For me, I will be like, wow, that's, yeah. Like, I take my hat off.
I think that the agent, I think that any agent would be working on your behalf until that position is filled. I mean, there is a race against the clock, and that is where and why I see other agencies spit out that those 10 resumes within 3 minutes to 30 minutes. They're just trying to get something in your inbox. Basically, it's like throwing pasta against the wall to see if it sticks. For me as an agency, to a fault, I've been slower out of the gate in making candidate presentations because I believe that there's a responsibility in actually speaking to the candidate and speaking to the candidate and talking about the opportunity that is in front of us and asking the candidate, would you like to explore this opportunity? And in the exploration of the opportunity, I am perhaps more full disclosure than any other agent out there about the realities of the program, what's going on today, what's to happen tomorrow. So if it was a sportable crew candidate, you know, we can't control other people's behavior, you know, when they're not in front of or in our company, but that sportable crew candidate would have already known the level of activity happening on board, would have already known that we're filling this position rather quickly. Unfortunately, the previous crew member in this position didn't work out as recently as this morning. So, you know, I can only speak for how I communicate with my candidates, and I don't think there's any excuse for bad or rude behavior. I mean, again, you know, this is a relationship. And so relationships are between people, and you need to allow room and space for everything to happen in that relationship.
Let's talk a little bit about crew rights and what does that mean in the term of a crew agency, right? So let's say you place me on board and I got sexually assaulted, right? So what would that mean for you as a crew agent if I call you and say, hey, Susan, this happened to me on the boat that you placed me?
I would be shocked, and not because these things aren't happening. But one of the privileges of working for myself and having my own agency is I can pick and choose who I do business with, both clients, the boats that are paying, and candidates alike. So I would be surprised that I didn't know that an opportunity like that could have existed. You know, there's a number of different ways for us to go about it. I mean, the first question is, again, this is about relationships and we're people. It's not just an agency candidate relationship. You know, are you okay? You know, where are you? You know, so making sure that candidate is safe is the most important thing. And then there are a number of steps to go from there. You know, fact of the matter, again, we're only on board because there's a job to be done. You know, a job as stewardess, a job as a deckhand, a job as chef. People shouldn't have to be subjected to things such as sexual assault, let alone sexual harassment for that matter, when they're simply in place to do a job and they want to do a job well.
Right. Legally speaking, is there any anything that holds you accountable as a crew agent if you place me on this vessel and this happened to me?
So I am an agency. I am a recruiting agency. So my job is the recruitment of candidates. Once those candidates are hired on board, the employment relationship is between the boat and the crew member. because both of those parties willingly entered into that agreement. So from a financial or a legal liability point of view, the answer would be no. Then again, I'm a recruiting agency. For instance, I'm not a management company. So there are different levels of responsibility, or if you want to say liability, depending on what the relationship is between the agency and the boat. For me, I'm a recruiter. I'm not management. I don't do payroll.
Right. So basically, as a crew agent, if as soon as you place the person on board and that person gets hired, that's when you're basically, okay, I'm off the game, basically. Like, whatever happens to you, that's
on you. No, but you were asking me specifically about liability, and liability in the case of sexual
assault.
Let's
say you place me on a job and I don't get paid after.
So when agents recruit, industry standard is when agents recruit candidates to a job and that candidate is hired. Of course, there's an exchange of a recruitment fee, but there's a terms and conditions, and those terms and conditions include warranties, or some agents call them like bad apple guarantees. Bottom line is, if that hire doesn't work out, the agency is still your partner in helping you accomplish what your initial and ultimate objective is, which is
what I'm saying.
Say that again.
This is what I'm talking about. All agencies have terms and conditions, right?
Yes.
For the owner or the client, the customer, and the agency. But there's no, or if there is, I haven't seen any terms and conditions between the agency and the actual crew member.
I would have to agree with you. I would have to agree with you because there's no financial exchange that happens between agencies and crew members. I think it was going back to maybe about 2008 that the IMO, the International Maritime Organization, said that agencies could no longer charge registration fees for crew members to register in the hopes or potential of getting a job. So yes, those legally binding terms and conditions are more between.
Because crew agencies are not making money from the pocket of the crew, they're making money from the pocket of the boat, they have no legal bind to have terms and conditions with crew members and the agency, basically.
Well, you know, I remember, back in the day, we would try to have a binding agreement with crew members relative to, I am going to introduce you to clients. And in my introducing you to clients, there is going to be an open and honest exchange, if you do secure employment with that client, so that I can make sure I deserve to get paid for that introduction to opportunity. I don't really see that happening today, and things are moving so fast today.
So, again, in
industry standard terms and conditions, yes, the terms, those terms and conditions are with the, between the agency and the boat, but as part of that, guarantee or warranty, that warranty covers a certain trial period. And bottom line is, if the candidate that was chosen to step into that position doesn't work out, beyond that probation period, we continue to stand by you as your partner in helping you reach your ultimate objective,
right,
which is recruiting the right person for the job for the long term.
That is you, the crew agent, standing as a partner to the boat, not the crew member.
However, anyone that knows me have always known that at the risk of my being unpopular, I don't have a problem bringing attention to bad behavior.
Yeah.
And I feel a sense of responsibility, a great sense of responsibility to not only what I do, to earn a living, to support myself and be a participating player, contributor in this industry, but also as a human being. You know, my name is Suzanne Porta. you know, my company is Sportable Crew. That's my first initial and my last name. You know, I carry my family name, and there's a sense of responsibility with that too. You know, I am a woman. We are working in a mostly a male dominated industry that many men, God bless them, but some of them hide behind that chain of command. You know, I'm the captain, and this is the way it is. Fact of the matter is, we are all professionals. And we're being hired to play or perform a professional role in a very serious industry. And again, we're there to do a job, not to be abused. And that could be, you know, verbally as well as physically or sexually.
Another topic that I want to talk about is blacklisting. So my 14 years, I wonder sometimes, how are some people are still getting jobs when we all know that people should not be on a boat, right? For different reasons. And yet I find many of these bad apples are actually being placed by crew agents on board. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, do you guys really not care for the health and the safety of crew members on board? Because most of the people that I'm talking about are safety hazards, you know, like they are the ones that are causing the sexual harassment and abuse. They are the ones that are drinking way more than they should. They are the ones that are carrying guns when they shouldn't. They are the ones, you know, calling shots that shouldn't be called. So, I mean, I've been myself on boats like this where literally I left the Bahamas with the entire crew, and the people, the Bahamian people from Norman Key, they got us out of the boat. They made that happen. And they said, don't worry, like, we're not going to charge you guys. We're going to put it all on the boat. They can figure it out. You guys need to get out of there because you're not safe. Because they knew the captain that was on board with us was a bad apple. And we were like, it came down to our safety, our lives. So we said, you know what, we're all leaving. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we had the people, you know, the local people in that moment that helped us out to get out. And it was like almost like a video, really, like a movie of it. But all of a sudden it's like, this is the reality, you know what I mean? And this happened in 2010, something like that. And I still see these men on jobs.
I do too. Unfortunately, I do too. So every agency has their own book, if you want to call it that. I remember years ago, this was going back to about between 2008 and 2010. And I respect other agents and other agencies. We're all, in theory, trying to do the same good work. And there's room for many. I spoke to the owner of another agency and I asked, I didn't understand why agents in the United States don't communicate with other agents in the United States at all sometimes. Why certain agencies don't even talk about what their experiences are. In Europe, it's very different. In Europe, or it used to be that all of the agents in Europe did communicate with each other to protect the industry. But I remember going back and I asked this other agency owner about getting together to protect our industry from these bad apples. And that agent looked at me, that owner, and she shook her head and she says, no, Suzanne, I'm not interested. She says, my agency has paid or invested in having that valuable information, and I'm not interested in giving that away or sharing that with others. And I mean, it blew my mind. And I don't really have a relationship with her.
You're not willing to share it? What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I am friendly with everyone, and I respect everyone, but I couldn't really, you know, maintain an ongoing relationship, you know, with this agent or agency over time, because I just didn't think that demonstrated responsibility.
Right.
You know, we can choose who we do business with, and we can choose who we're friends with.
And what about owners, boats? Is there a blacklist for that as well?
Sure. I mean, you know, you can look at, you know, in any boat size, if you will, you know, there's always, you know, five boats, let's say, that are, you know, on the top of everyone's list of worst boats or whatnot. But different people take different jobs for different reasons. You know, there's a U.S. flagged vessel in Miami, most notably at 150 feet, that many a U.S. crew member and many a green U.S. crew member had at one point worked on that boat because they were trying to get experience. Yep, it's on your resume. Do you know what I mean? But again, you know, for me and having the relationship with the candidates, number one, I don't peddle bad people or dangerous opportunities. I'd rather not have the business, and I have the opportunity to choose that.
So
say that again.
When I came on board that boat,
yeah,
that boat already had the reputation that I now know. Me being green in that stage, I didn't know anything. I was just like, okay, yeah, take me, let's go. Basically being stupid, really, and not educating myself enough to make proper, responsible decisions for myself. But
Hang on a second. Was it not an experience, though? Was it not an experience that you learned from?
Yeah, but one that could potentially become really dangerous, because in that boat, somebody got raped, and it wasn't me, thankfully.
In all of my years, and knowing far more than I would like to know about some people and some boats, I never knew that. I never heard that.
So I came into this boat, and I know this boat had the reputation that it had, yet the crew agency said, oh my God, yes, it's an amazing boat, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I was like, all right, let's go. I know I got the job because I spoke Spanish. That's why I got the job, because the lady who was going to teach me only spoke Spanish. It was very obvious when I got there. I was like, okay, yeah, this is why I got the job.
I think we might be talking about different boats now.
No, we're not. So it was the house manager at the time. She barely spoke any English.
Ah, gotcha.
Training me. So this boat, as soon as I got there, I thought, I was like, this is slavery, literally. This is what this is. I was like, what is going on? Being my first boat coming out of like land life, you know, and being a student at a college, I was just like baffled by it. And then the amount of drugs that I saw, the amount of the way the owner spoke to me, literally calling me names, you know, from whore to cunt to your bitch to all this stuff. In front of guests, not that it really matters if it's in front or not, it's not okay. Seeing seven captains in a month come and go. Seeing three chefs. Me being the only stewardess at one point on the 150 footer. Then bringing another stew because I was begging to have somebody else. This poor woman came from a really shit boat next to us in New York. Jumped to us only to actually get raped by a German guy who was on the boat, and the owner told us, don't be alone in any cabin or anything with him, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, okay, whatever. And then this shitstorm happened, and I actually had quit, but because they didn't want to pay me, I said, I'm not leaving the boat until you pay me. So I was for 2 weeks on the boat without working, not getting paid, just hanging around because I was like, I need to get paid. I'm not leaving. This is like me not understanding the industry, and I'm glad I actually did that. And in these 2 weeks, this happened. And when it happened, that was the day that I was let go and said, okay, here's your money, go. The person that got assaulted got paid, so she didn't talk. Obviously, that was a personal choice she made. But I see people being placed in this boat all the time. I'm like, why? Like, I mean, why is this happening? Where do we draw the line of like our values and morals? And like you said, the responsibility that we have as an agency to also the crew. It's not just about the owner, you know?
No, I agree with you. I've always, many people have had these discussions for many years, just relative to why can't the industry protect itself and protect ourselves as professionals against these types of things happening, especially things that continue to happen. There was talks about could crew members form a union? There were talks about why isn't there some sort of regulatory body for these things to be reported to? You know, the interesting thing is some people are afraid of libel, of slander. Some people don't want to touch it. And I think it's a shame because, again, I don't think that anyone should be subject to any of these things, you know, even down to the name calling. In environments that they're just trying to work, develop themselves professionally, earn a living, and be safe.
The more I study the crew rights, right, the seafarer's right, because we tend to think, oh, we're yachties. No, you're a seafarer, period, you know? It has come a long way, but it's still very gray. And pretty much no 100% human rights in place. Even though a lot of people say, oh, IMO and MLC and whatever, not really. They're just there to pretend that this is in place when in reality it's not, because there is so much gray area that it gives you that opportunity so people are not held accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, and work every time. Nobody is held accountable.
And unfortunately, sometimes that accountability only comes with the hiring of a lawyer. Yes. And many times people don't want to go down that road. Many of the people that should, in fact, be able to have help and legal help to resolve certain issues, even if the issue is coming down to not getting paid for time served.
I just really, you know, out of all these things that we have been talking about, what really is coming up for me before we wrap it up is that I really hope that crew agencies start remembering. Most of the crew agencies have been crew, right, in the past, most of them. It's very rarely that you see or meet one that hasn't. So they know what we are, you know, as crew have gone through or been through, because they themselves have gone through it. So for me, it's like really hoping that the crew agencies become part of the solution of the human rights of seafarers, you know, because it starts, you know, they are the representation, right, of the loss. But then again, they don't want to be held accountable when shit goes wrong, you know, when
they continue to
put that person there. But then when something goes right, it's like, oh, that's your business. I already place you, you're on your own, you know? And I literally just heard this from a agency who just told me, oh, this person called me and said they haven't gotten paid. And I told them, fuck off. Literally, this is what came out of their mouth, because I already place you. Once you're on the boat, it's your problem, not mine. And I'm thinking, so I'm good enough for you while you're trying to make money. Once your money's in the pocket, I'm on my own. It's like, what? This is why I don't understand. Why are we not having term and conditions with the crew agencies, you know, and us as crew? Because it's like, you know, everybody goes like, oh yeah, look at the flag stay. Oh yeah, look at the this, that. Okay, but who plays you there? Mm-hmm. Like, didn't they do their research? You know what I mean? And like, what type of accountability do they have, you know, towards this job? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how the crew agency works on land. I'm pretty sure it's way different than this.
I don't think that anyone, I don't think it's the responsible or ethical thing for anyone to be perpetuating such problems. I don't think that, again, you know, I'm only successful when my client, the boat that pays me, is successful. But the boat is only successful when the candidate that I've recruited for this opportunity is successful. So I've always viewed it as the three of us being in partnership. Bottom line is, I'm shocked at the example that you just gave, just the language that someone would use. Do you know what I mean?
Well, maybe but again, because I also use that language. I don't know.
But again, you know, I feel a sense of responsibility. And, you know, as a person, as a friend, as a family member, and as a professional, you know, I'm not going to shrink back just because I've cashed a check. And again, at the risk of being unpopular, I've always brought attention to bad behavior. There's no reason why that agent cannot pick up the phone and ask their client, can you please help me understand this? Can you please help me understand that you have come to me and you've asked me to recruit someone on board your vessel to do a job, in which we did successfully, that person has not gotten paid in a timely manner. Please help me understand it. And there's no reason why a phone call like that can't happen.
Yeah,
you know, I so appreciate this opportunity, and you and I have always been more serious people, just in terms of how we think about these things and how we care about these things, you know. But it's we have to be careful because this isn't an industry versus agency. It shouldn't be an industry versus agency discussion, and things move so fast. There's so much happening on social media, such as someone posting a job and within an hour that job having been filled. But jobs are being offered in haste. Jobs are being taken in haste. There's not enough of this advanced discussion. So everyone is walking in with eyes wide open. And I'm not saying eyes wide open that you're going to work on a boat that has, you know, reportedly experienced sexual assault, because that wouldn't be something that I would be involved in, as in I wouldn't be working with a client such as that. I'm not going to perpetuate opportunity for people to be compromised in any way. But I think it's just because everything moves so fast. And the interesting thing is, you know, the greenies that I worked with back in the day, whether as a crew member or as an agency, are today the captains and the unlimited chief engineers, you know, as an example. That's not to say that they're exceptionally experienced hiring managers. And that's why I feel a sense of responsibility, but the candidates too have a sense of responsibility to have the discussions that are important so they know what they're walking into. Or when they do walk into something such as, this is not the greatest example, but such as that millennial that walked into you and said, well, why isn't my cabin ready? Do you know what I mean? That person probably should have known already how fast things were moving on board, and just been excited to be there and get to work because they know that there is X to accomplish in Y amount of time. And that's their whole reason that they're there. They're there to do a job.
Yeah, I agree with you. So thank you so much for taking the time to have a go and explore and just bring some awareness on what we've been seeing that's happening in the evolution of crew agencies. And so to wrap it up, how do you see crew agencies in the future?
The business is definitely changing. And the business is changing, for instance, with social media. You know, again, just that example. You know, everyone and their mother, thinks they're a hiring manager. You know, everyone and their mother could think that they're a crew agent. But to be a true agent, if you think about the verb as well as the noun, it's more than just being a resume finding service. You know, so I hope that the industry recognizes and continues to recognize the value of agents and works with agents as partners. And also remember, you know, during this time of COVID, a lot of people were out of work. A lot of programs were slowed down, if you will. A lot of people are looking for work. That includes agents too. I mean, don't forget that we've been here every step of the way. Don't just call us when you're looking for a job. If you're in a position of authority and a hiring manager, give us an opportunity to cast that net with you to see what comes in. So the best person is hired for the position, not just the first one that you spoke to in the last hour after posting on social media, that you don't know from a hole in the wall. Because when we're hiring people that we don't know from a hole in the wall, hole in a wall, how can we expect to not be surprised when certain situations arise or certain statements are made or people are compromised? I mean, I think there's a great sense of responsibility. I think there's a great opportunity in hiring. And I know a lot of people don't like it, but there's such a great opportunity in whom you're hiring, whom you're bringing on board and into your family.
Yes, that is the key, because it is a family at the end of the day when you're living, breathing, like you said, getting sick and having fun with all the same people.
And I've appreciated having you in the family too, girlfriend. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on everything that you're doing. I'm so happy to see your evolution and success. And I'm happy to be a part of it and to always be able to contribute in any way, including getting to the bottom of some of these very real issues that we've talked about today. So thanks for giving a voice to it.
Thank you so much, Susan. There you guys have it. Remember that Uncensored is here to share wisdom and educate and create awareness. So if you have a story that you want to bring or share, please email me at info@yatsmermaids.com. The email is down below the video. And all the information to contact Susan Porta is down below the video as well. So yeah, if you guys want good crew, you know where to go now. Okay, bye.